So welcome back to our second audio guide for 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Chase Acuna, and in our first guide, I mentioned that here in chapter 11, Paul begins taking the Corinthians back to school. Back to school. Back to school. Wait, sorry about that. He takes them back to school in order to address some serious issues in the church. The previous guide covered the first 16 verses where Paul addresses the roles of men and women in the church. If you haven't listened to that guide, you really should go back and listen first. I'll wait. Okay, let's jump in. In the second audio guide for chapter 11, we're jumping into a new topic, communion. Verse 17, "In the following directives, I have no praise for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt, there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval." So now, good news first. The church in Corinth was gathering together, something unfortunately often neglected today. But when they did gather together, they brought the MMA gloves. Remember all the fighting back in chapter 1? Well, there, the issues were theological. Here, they're dealing with social issues in the church. Verse 20, "So then, when you come together, it is not the Lord's supper you eat. For when you're eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry and another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this matter." Corinth celebrated communion as a feast. The city was known for large festivals for the gods, so many probably wanted to bring those festivals into the church. Today, we take communion with very somber attitudes. But there's actually nothing wrong with celebrating it as a party. I mean, we're talking about the single greatest event in human history. Jesus died for our sins and rose again! Now talk about something that's actually worth celebrating. But the Corinthians had brought sinful practices into these feasts. The nobles and rich received better treatment and better food than the poor. The rich were piling on food and wine, being gluttons and drunkards. They were more honorable in the culture, so shouldn't they go first? I mean, they have brought more food to the celebration, so shouldn't they get more? It was this class division that grieved Paul so much. If the poor were unable to bring much to the common meal, then weren't they the ones that actually needed to be first in line for the potluck? The Corinthian nobles had their own mansions. If they want to feast and drink, let them do it in their own homes. But in the church, this selfishness showed dishonor to Christ and the entire church, and brought shame upon those who were unable to bring anything to the celebration. Eventually, the poor would probably stay away from the church, as it would be an embarrassment to show up empty-handed. So what should the proper attitude be for communion? Verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." Actually, the night Jesus instituted communion, he and his disciples were celebrating Passover, the ancient Israelite celebration of freedom out of Egypt. The breaking of bread and drinking of wine are vital parts of the Passover meal. If you ever get a chance to participate in a Passover meal, please do so. Communion will mean so much more to you. But when Jesus celebrated this meal with his disciples, he used it to create a new covenant, a new relationship between God and man. And just as the first covenant was sealed with blood, so this new covenant was sealed with the blood of Jesus himself. Verse 26, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Communion is a celebration of what Christ has done on the cross, but it also looks forward to his return. In a way, every time we take communion, we preach a sermon proclaiming our eager anticipation for the feast we get to go to when Jesus returns. Verse 27, "So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord." Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. So maybe you heard this warning at church before. Check your heart. Any sin? If so, better confess now. Crying? That might be good too. But Paul wasn't trying to limit people from the table. He wasn't saying, well, if you haven't been a good boy or girl, well, then no communion for you today. Or that if you've sinned recently, then you're out. No. If anyone needs a reminder of the death and resurrection of Jesus, isn't it the sinners that need restoration? When we repent of our sins, it should drive us toward the cross, not away from it. But when a person is walking in stubborn sin and is unrepentant, they mock Jesus when they claim they're clean and come to the table. So let us examine ourselves, not in beating ourselves up, but in an honest appraisal, making sure we're conducting ourselves honorably before the Lord. And as we take of the bread and the cup at the communion table, let us celebrate the gift of Jesus' life, death, burial, and resurrection. So that's it today for 1 Corinthians 11. Join us tomorrow for chapter 12 on Through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.